Continuing with the sermon series on delighting in the Sabbath, for that we'll turn first to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 14. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Pray with me. Our Father God, we thank you that you have given us your word and that you have called us together to be washed in your word. Bless us now as we assemble around you. Bless us now as we seek your face. God, change our hearts. Change the way that we think. Change our affections that we will truly call the Sabbath day a delight. And we will have these wonderful blessings that you speak of. The wonderful blessing of knowing you and delighting in you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the past week, we've explored the idea of what the Sabbath is for us. What the Sabbath accomplishes in us. We looked at the idea that it is indeed made for man and not man for the Sabbath, but that's in the context of the reality of like having a bedroom within a home. The reality there is that we are in that room and it's been given to us, but that room is used and is governed according to certain principles or becomes an abomination. It becomes something disgusting. But the Sabbath is meant to be used in the particular ways that God lays out. And we see here in these passages that then it becomes this delight for us. And it brings you to the place where you are actually delighting in God. Where you're actually delighting in Christ Jesus. Rather than all these other things that we would run after and all these other things that we would serve. This morning we explored the idea that when we are given something that's a blessing, it still has the opportunity to be a danger to us. It still has the opportunity, and there is the threat from God that it'll actually be a curse on you. It'll be a problem for you if you do not handle what has been called holy in ways that are holy. You could even think in the context of the tabernacle. Or the temple. The temple was given to them to show that God was in their midst. But that didn't mean that the tabernacle or the temple was meant to be used in any way that they desired. No one went prancing into the Holy of Holies and had their birthday party there. It was a special place set aside for something wonderful and beautiful. The same is true with the Sabbath day. C.J. Williams speaks in terms of the Sabbath day, saying that for the priest to come and to come to the temple, or for the worshiper to come and come into the temple, when they stepped across that threshold there, they knew that they were entering into a holy place in the very presence of God. C.J. Williams turned back the clock and said, for Adam it was different. There wasn't a holy place for Adam, but there was a holy time for Adam. He stepped into a day. When the sun set, it became a day that was set apart specifically for that rest and that worship and that fellowship with God. I think we may have lost something as we just wait for the clock to turn to midnight. But imagine that time where that orange ball in the sky goes down. And we enter then into a holy time. A time made for you, for the purpose of fellowshipping with God. And that rest that we have, it's not just a nap, But that rest is where you no longer have to turn all of your attention to dealing with cultivating the world or dealing, fighting against the curse. But your attention is turned from that battle and turned from that struggle. And your attention then is turned specifically to that beautiful fellowship and that accepting relationship that you have with Christ Jesus. And so this is why this language shouldn't be shocking to us at all, but it's something that we can drink in deeply and rejoice in. If because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. And He will make you ride on the heights of the earth. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So, it's no small thing on one hand to delight in the Sabbath, and it's no great burden on the other hand to delight in the Sabbath. But it's actually been ingrained into us, and it's the direction that your heart is made for. But so often, like disobedient children, we fight against anything that is placed before us that is good. We recently had some children in our house, and we looked at them and we shook our heads about how disobedient and disrespectful they were. And we struggled with what was going on there. And then I stepped back and I thought, oh, that's me. You know, as disrespectful as these children are being and as disobedient as they're being, this kid looks just like my own heart. Everything that God puts before me and says, don't do that, I think, well, that looks pretty good. You know, or do this. I think, well, I don't want to do that. No matter how good or how beautiful it is. And the Sabbath is no exception. We think, oh, what a burden or what a struggle. Oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. But God says, look, it's beautiful. Look. Delight in it. And I think of those moments in my own life where my own heart has been broken and brought to a real repentance, that broken and that contrite heart that God does not despise. The beauty of those moments and the beauty of those fellowships. The Sabbath will be that. The Sabbath will be that. It'll be that beautiful moment for you. When you cease from pursuing your own desires. And when you delight in the day that the Lord has called holy. Now, what we've been doing is looking at the different elements that we are able to delight in on the Sabbath. And this is our first step tonight. It's delight in being washed in the Word. We forget the privilege that God's Word is. The privilege to possess it. And also the privilege to hear it and the privilege to have it spoken to us. I'm told of our brothers and sisters in China, where our people have to hide. They have to sneak into houses or sneak into abandoned warehouses and abandoned factories and move and go and work through these old places into the center of it where they're least likely to be heard or be seen. And they come together there and the Word of God is smuggled and carried about. Something precious and something held fast. And they have a sense of the reality of Scripture. They have a sense of the reality of having God's Word available to them. Truth. Truth is something of a rare commodity now. We live in a land and we live in an age where Satan has deceived the world. All of the money that goes into the propaganda of Satan in this world could be looked at it in Hollywood's budget. The lies and the schemes meant to trick you, to lead you astray, and to distract you. God's Word comes like a sharp two-edged sword, shining like lightning, cutting through Satan's veils, and speaks truth and speaks reality to you. And one of the awesome blessings of coming into the assembly is having this reality proclaimed to you, announced to you, that the lies and the schemes that you have embraced and the things that you have been, that you have believed, the things that have tied you up and have pulled you away from the presence of God, these truths would be spoken. And you would see truth, you would know reality, that you would be rescued from the shadows and rescued from the darkness, and you would be set free to know what is right and true and good for your own thinking, for your own affections, for the households that you are a part of, the communities that you are a part of. God speaks in these terms in Deuteronomy 4, 35 through 37. To you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord, He is God. There is no other besides Him. Out of the heavens, He let you hear His voice to discipline you. You come into the assembly and He does this. Out of heaven, He speaks to you, that you would hear His voice, that you would be disciplined, that you would know truth, that you would know reality. And part of the beautiful way that He does this is speaking to you through the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23 speaks of the church in this context. And He put all things in subjection under His feet. And He gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Do you think in that context, the church is the fullness of His body who fills all and is in all? Now I look around and I think, I don't know. Really? This? This is the fullness of Him? But God says it, so it's so. The people in this assembly are placed in your life for the purpose of being the body of Christ in your life. Now, we can all look around and say, well, they're not doing a real good job. Well, that's sad. That's sad, and that's where we are right now. But that doesn't trump the spiritual reality of this is who Christ says we are. We are being given what we need to have. And for those of us where, sadly, that is some form of isolation, that's a heartbreak, that is. That even that isolation is put in our lives intentionally. That we would seek the face of Christ. For those of you like me that are abrasive, even that is put here by Jesus Christ. To teach us and to direct us to Him. For those of you like my wife who are gentle, that's put here intentionally as well. For Jesus is that good, gentle shepherd who cares for us and nurtures us. 1 Peter 2:5 speaks of you, the church, in this way. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This idea of being living stones, you think of a brick wall and the way a brick wall is structured. You've got a brick there and you've got one on either side. They're there together and every brick is supporting two other bricks and every brick is supported by two bricks. We're built together and we come together as family and as fellowship. And if you're not partaking in that, you're missing a part of the blessing. In particular, as we come together every Sabbath, you're missing a part of the blessing for the Sabbath. We come together for one another's spiritual nourishment and encouragement and growth in Christ Jesus. Now, this idea of the Word coming through the body of Christ and washing us is no small thing. It's a beautiful thing. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to visit Niagara Falls. And you get to go down, and part of it, if you explore it, you get to go to this tunnel. And you go through this tunnel and you look out, and there is the falls covering the whole opening there. You are there behind the falls. And when I was there, you couldn't speak to one another. You had to shout as loud as you could just to be heard at all. Well, the Scripture speaking of the voice of God like the voice of many waters. It's that sound of a crowd. It's that sound of that multitude. When you come together in the assembly and the Word is being sung for you and to you for your instruction, for your admonition, for your teaching, it is that voice of God, the voice of many waters washing you, and it is cause for great, great delight. Now, another part of delighting in the Sabbath, this is our second move, delight in offering service to God. We sang this morning Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. This is the court of God. This is coming into His gate. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. In Psalm 92, as we also explored this morning, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High, to declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness by night. Hebrews 13:15 speaks in these terms. Through Him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to His name. You know, you may think of the Old Covenant, and sometimes we romanticize the Old Covenant, that they got to see all this great stuff and all this exciting stuff. In reality, it would be the most terrifying things that we have ever experienced. When people saw the wonders of God, they were struck with awe. They were terrified. They trembled. I think that I would like to have seen the Red Sea opened up. But then I think, how terrifying would it be to walk through? And how terrifying would it be when He closed it? The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. We may look at the temple and I think, I'd like to have seen Solomon's temple. I would like to see 10-foot-high cherubim. I would like to see all the beauty and the splendor of the gold and the golden shields there. But you are given something more beautiful. You're spared the blood and the literal guts of the sacrifices. And you are spoken of as a new Jerusalem. You are spoken of as Mount Zion. You are spoken of as those who offer a new sacrifice. In Hebrews 13:15, again, through Him then, this is through Jesus Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. And this had been speaking in the context of Jerusalem. They were thinking in terms of the temple and what was done there. It's saying now, you do something better as you sing God's praise. As you offer up what you have been given, as you give it to Him. If you think in this context, as you sing, how beautiful is it? And how much can we delight in the worship and the offerings that we give? And we see here that the New Testament worship is called the fruit of the lips. that give thanks to God. And this is the reason that we sing the Psalms a cappella. Now, another aspect, and this is our third move to delighting in the Sabbath. Delight in the Sabbath as a sign between you and Christ. Ezekiel 20:12. Also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. You, in keeping the Sabbath, are demonstrating this sign. This sign of your relationship with Christ. Now, it may seem like a struggle when someone says, hey, come to this birthday party on the Sabbath. And we're like, no. And we feel like, oh, I'm being that stick in the mud again that won't come to grandma's birthday party because we say it's the Sabbath. But here it's saying, no, it's not this ugly thing. No, it's not this burdensome thing. Here it's saying, it's a sign of your relationship with Christ. And shouldn't we speak in that context when the Sabbath is brought into question? Shouldn't we speak in terms of saying, no, my God has set this day apart as holy, and I will call it holy. See, we as a denomination have fallen into this realm of being fearfully apologetic. Fearfully apologetic of what God has said. Fearfully apologetic of His Word. Fearfully apologetic of the standards of Scripture which are truth in our life. Can you be fearfully apologetic of a sign of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Of a sign of His great love. Of the sign of His great loving kindness and grace that envelops you and holds you fast. I gave them my Sabbaths, He says, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord their God who sanctifies them. How sweet is that? That He is the Lord your God who sanctifies you. That is, He has set you apart from wrath and judgment, and He is the one purifying your heart, washing it, making you into the reality of being as white as snow. The reality of the Sabbath that He has given you to delight in. Now we're going to flow into our last move here, and this is the one we touched on a bit this morning. Delight in giving others their rest. We look again at Exodus 20:10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. And this idea of giving other people their rest, that we would not go out and we would not pay other people to be our servants on God's day. That we wouldn't cause other people to commit sins or other people to commit crimes. In Nehemiah 13, verses 16, and I'm going to go as far as 22 this time. Also, men of Tyre were living there who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah. And that would be thought of as the church. Sold them to the church on the Sabbath day, even in Jerusalem. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, and you can think in terms of this is the prophet calling out the elders. He reprimanded the elders. He reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do the same so that our God brought on us and on the city all this trouble. And think of the trouble that they were facing at that point. The temple had been destroyed. The walls of the city had been destroyed. The people had been ripped from their homes and put into slavery. He's saying, all of this trouble had been put upon us because we were not keeping the Sabbath day. He said, look what you are doing to us. Did not your fathers do the same so that our God brought on us all this trouble? Yet you are adding to the wrath of Israel by profaning the Sabbath. It came about that just as it grew dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and that they should not open them until after the Sabbath. Then I stationed some of my servants at the gates so that no load would enter in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the traders and merchants of every kind of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night in front of the wall? If you do so again, I will use force against you. From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. And I commanded Levites that they should purify themselves and come as gatekeepers to sanctify the Sabbath day. For this also, remember me, O my God, and have compassion on me according to the greatness of your loving kindness. This is no small thing. And it is no small thing. God calls out, and this is an application for elders as well. I expect each of you young men and each of you men to aspire to the office of elder, and that you would stand firm for God's truth, that you would stand firm and you would protect God's people. We look at our lives and we see that our culture is given over to the many, many luxuries that we think are a right now and we think are a necessity now. We look at our restaurants and we look at our gas stations and think, oh, we must have them. Do we really need them on the Sabbath? Do we really need them? Or would it be simply a matter of, as they did in the Old Covenant, gathering extra sticks on Saturday so they didn't have to gather sticks on the Sabbath? A matter of preparation. Oh, as we think of we need these luxuries, tell you what you need more. It's the simple pleasure of being quiet with Christ. The simple pleasure of sitting still and turning to Him. The simple pleasure of calling the Sabbath a delight. And as God promises and as He explains, when you do so, the Lord Himself will become your delight. You will walk on the heights of the earth. You will be fed with the heritage of Jacob. The Lord Himself has spoken this. It's the truth. It's the reality. Delight yourself in the Sabbath and know this beautiful rest in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. God, our God, we praise you and we rejoice in you. Thank you for giving us one day out of seven. Thank you for making it for us. Do not allow us to be sinful and rebellious children that are disrespectful and profane what is holy, but cause us to be those who embrace what is holy and find our pleasure where you tell us to find our pleasure, in you and in your Son, Christ Jesus. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. Our last psalm is